Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to see you. We were having a few jovial moments with the choir up here before we started, and they said that they were the ones that didn't have snooze control on their alarm clocks this morning, so they're here, and we're delighted that you're here. And I know that a lot of our people are gone today, and we understand that, but we're delighted that you're here, that you've come to worship with us. And I know that today's service will be a blessing to you, and we want to welcome you. That, as is usually our custom here, I think the pew pads, hopefully those have already been passed, but if not, if you could pick those up and sign in and pass them on down, and when you get done at the end, if you'll pass it back to where it started. That way we'll know that you were here. And guests, if we have any guests with us, be sure and sign there. And we've got some information, more information we'd like to get you about the ministries of College Park, if you don't mind. I want to remind you there are no evening activities here tonight, nor are there Wednesday night activities, New Year's Day. I want you to spend that time with family and eat you some black-eyed peas and some ham and all turnip greens and cornbread. And,
sounded good.
Yeah, okay. All right, invite me to your house if you're having that, will you? Okay. And enjoy family time together on New Year's Day. There will be a children's time here this morning. I'm not sure if we have any children with us, so if we get to that point, I look lonely here. If you would, several of you volunteer, maybe out of the balcony, come down. And Rusty, we got you. Okay, we're covered. All right, good deal. We'll have a few children for children's time. Jeff is away enjoying time with family vacation. So we'll have children's time when it comes to that point in the service. If you are a guest with us here this morning, I hope that you've been greeted already. You probably stick out a little bit more to this Sunday than any other given Sunday because our people are a little sparse, but we are delighted that you're here with us today. We really are, and we want to extend a special welcome to you. Our ushers are going to begin down the aisle toward the back, and as they pass your pew, if you're a guest, if you'll just catch their eye, kind of, they've got some information about the ministries of College Park that I hope that you'll take and read that. And there's a letter also in there, that greeting and more information, and as well as a copy of our newsletter. So take that, we'll be in contact if you've given us contact information. And members, be sure to notice where our guests are and greet them if you haven't done so already. So. We're delighted again that you're with us, each and every one of you. It is a wonderful day of worship, and I know that your hearts are prepared, but we want to begin with the time of worship and calling us to worship. So as we are called to worship, I invite you to prepare your heart to hear what God has to present to you today.
God sent us salvation.
Let's pray together. Lord, we come this morning to celebrate. To celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. To celebrate the fact that Christ has come. Christ is born. And Christ lives among men. Lord, it's easy to forget sometimes that you walk alongside us, that you reside within us. Lord, as we look around and see gray days and all the other distractions that life would offer, Lord, give us your voice. Give us your spirit speaking within us. God with us. God with us. As we walk in coming days, let us hear that reminder, God with us. As we face what coming days bring, Lord, help us to hear God with us. And Lord, as we worship this morning, as we sing, as we pray, as we speak your word and hear your word, Lord, let it all be with the knowledge of God with us. Lord, help us to worship this morning with our whole hearts and soul and mind and strength, because you are here in this place with us. Lord, accept our offerings. Accept our lives. And Lord, let them glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would read with me this morning our call to praise, I will read the light print if you will join me in reading the bold. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Let us praise the Lord together. The sun shall no longer be our light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine upon us. For the Lord will be our light, and our God will be our glory. The Lord will be our everlasting light, and our days of sorrow will end. Come, let us sing to our light and salvation.
Invite any of the children that I haven't seen out there, you come on down. But Rebecca, come on up here, honey. We're going to teach the adults a lesson today. Come on up here. Come on up here. We got more coming. Come on down. It's okay. Come on up here. Come on up here. Sit with me. We have them coming down from upstairs. We'll wait on them just a minute. Is that okay? We're going to wait on them just a minute. It's okay. Come on. We're going to talk. Have a seat. Join me right here. Will you do that? We are going to talk in just a few minutes during the sermon. We're going to talk about the star. Do you remember the story about the star in the Christmas story? Do you remember that? Do you remember the story about the star and the wise men following the star? Well, if you look on the Christmas tree there, do you see all the bright lights? Aren't they pretty? That's kind of like mini stars, isn't it? That's kind of what it's like. And we're going to talk about the fact that stars are symbols. But, you know, the wise men, when they came, they did something else. They followed the star, and when they saw Jesus, what did they do? Do you remember? Do you remember what they did? What did they give him? They gave him a gift, didn't they? Yeah, they gave him a gift. Did you get any gifts for Christmas? Yeah? Okay. All right. Well, the wise men, the magi, gave Christ a gift because they wanted to honor him. And so that's kind of why we give presents at Christmas time. It's to honor Christ and to honor one another, to give thanks for one another. So next time you get a gift, I want you to remember why we give gifts at Christmas time. And it all goes back to the star and the wise men following the star to where Jesus was. Okay? You remember that? Yes? You remember that? All right. Let's pray together and give thanks. Dear Father, we thank you for the story of how the wise men came and the fact that they brought gifts and they gave those to Jesus. And even as we give gifts back to you and as we give gifts to one another, we pray that you would remind us of why that is. And that's because we want to honor and to praise you. We want to worship you. Father, we thank you for the gift, the most precious gift that could ever be given, and that's of your Son. And it's in his name that we pray.
This time I'll be sharing from Psalm 98, and then we'll move over to Titus if you would like to follow along with the verses that are printed there in your bulletin. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. So moving from Psalm 98 over to Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. But when the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Before we enter into our prayer time together, we just want to be sure to hold close in our hearts and to remember in prayer June Bale, who is at Forsyth Hospital, the wife of John Bale, and she'll soon be going home to heaven. So we want to remember all of that family in our prayers. And we also want to remember Charles and Melba Walker, as their son Charles Jr., as you know, we've been praying for him, and he's been declining in health, and we just got word right before the service that he could go on to heaven any time at this moment. So just remember both of these families, especially in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for your willingness to send your son, Jesus Christ, to this world, to become vulnerable to a young couple, to come and land on some rough hay, to leave your glory, Lord, how wonderful, and to land here with us in our messy lives. In this world of darkness and confusion, you came. In this world of hopelessness, you came. You brought meaning and purpose. You brought the truth, for you are the truth. We thank you so much for coming. You also opened up a path for us to come to God, to come and to have fellowship and communion. So thank you, dear Savior, for your willingness to do so. Lord, we thank you so much for the light that has come into our lives, the light that shows us the way when we need to know the path, the light that comforts us when we're grieving, the light that just wraps around us like a warm blanket. We thank you for the light, Lord, that makes us new and helps us each day to start anew, trusting you. And the light that shows us a greater vision than ourselves, that gives us the mission to which we're called, which is to follow you in your truth, to follow you in your wisdom. Thank you, O Lord, for showing us the way. And we thank you for our Savior who lives on in our hearts now, who walks before us, walks beside us, walks behind us. We thank you so much for the guidance we receive to live out lives in a difficult world with many challenges. But oh, the joys that we share in Christ, in our fellowship together, as we work beside each other to serve you, in our family lives and friendships. We thank you how you take the ordinary and make it extraordinary because of that great light. You're coming to this world. So as we get ready to move into the new year, we can look forward to the year with hope and excitement, knowing that we are on that great adventure of serving you and loving you. Thank you so much for the excitement of following you. Now, Father, we especially lift up John Bell and June. Just surround June with your many angels there at Forsyth Hospital. May she feel your tender touch. May her family feel your presence and peace. And may her reunion be wonderful when she arrives with you. And we pray also for Charles Jr. We pray, Father, that you'd wrap him up close and hold him tight, reminding him deep down inside you'll never let him go. And just comfort also Charles and Melba. Hold them close, Lord. This is a difficult time for them. Hold them close, may they feel our prayers for them. And we ask all this in thy wonderful name. Amen.
you join me in prayer? Holy Father, we are so thankful at this time of year for your gift of Jesus coming to us as a baby, a human. Father, we thank you even more for his sacrifice on the cross. And now as we give back a portion of the many blessings you've given to us, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
when you saw the title of today's sermon, did your mind go to a song, A Star, A Star? Dancing in the night with the... Come on, choir, help me out here. Well, maybe if their mind didn't go to the song, I'm thinking probably nobody's did, but A Star... You got to engage here. Children's time's over. A star. I mean, the whole image of a star, and you've got the crown on this side and the star here, and I know that many have stars on their Christmas trees, and as we talked about with the children, you know, the star is a symbol, and it's a wonderful symbol, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but Christmas is filled with symbols. If you'll look around you, Christmas is absolutely filled with symbols. For the secular world, quote unquote, some of the symbols of Christmas are like Santa Claus and that whole scene, and tinsel and Christmas trees and snow maybe and sleigh bells and holly and mistletoe and chestnuts roasting over an open fire and turkey and cranberry sauce. And recently we've added to that shopping and vacations, preferably in a warm climate. You know, special movies, Christmas movies, maybe that movie that it's just not Christmas until we've seen this movie, and Christmas music, all of those things are symbolic of the season. And it got me wondering, why do we have all of that? Why do we have all of these Christmas symbols? And I think there's some good reasons and there's some that are a little bit darker. Let's talk about the pleasant one first. The pleasant reasons, I think at the heart of it is kind of a love of family. Right? Being together, loving your family, spending special time together. And I think there, within that, there's also the thing of love of children. You know, we've talked before about maybe the purest love is a child's love, a love that a child expresses. I think that is some of the purest love because that unpretentious, they just want to love people just as God loves us unconditionally. I think our children love us that way. And so, you know, the love of children and the appreciation for their kind of love. And then there's the nostalgia, maybe. Remembrance of times that were perhaps more peaceful or times that were better, maybe. All of these kind of come in. And then there's fun. And there's nothing wrong with fun. I think Christmas is a fun time of year. It's a joy-filled time of year. It should be joyful. I hope it has been a joyful season for you. But then there's some of the darker, maybe, reasons for Christmas symbols. And it kind of lurks out there. It's the whole greed thing. You know, merchants want you to buy. You know, I can't make money if you don't buy. You know, and you must buy to give gifts. And we know that that's not true. But, you know, there's that. That's kind of an undercurrent. And then there's also the thing of escape. You know, for some people, this time of year is not a happy time. It's not a joy-filled, maybe for haunting memories or bad things that happened in the past around this time of year. We know that statistically this is a high-risk time for suicides. We know it's a high-risk time for alcohol and drug abuse as people try to escape. You know, they see joy all around them, and they're not joyful, so they want to withdraw. So there's a lot of symbols that the world has, some of them special, others maybe not quite as special. Christians also have unique symbols for Christmas. We have the chrismon tree, and if you look at those, some of them are pretty self-explanatory. We didn't go into detail this year with the children about all of the different chrismons and what they symbolize, but they're a part of our faith, and the decorations that are here, you know, express things that are special about our faith. You have the manger scene, the nativity scenes around town. You see them outside, and hopefully all the pieces are there. Nobody's stolen the donkey or the camel or something. But, you know, you have the nativity scenes, and you have angels that you see on different things in the mall and other areas, street lights where you have angels. You have musicals, the cantata-ta-ta-ta last week. Yes, it was gorgeous. And the Christmas music before that, the week before with the children, you have those. You have the season that prompts giving to those who are in need, and that's a wonderful thing. We also have services like last Sunday, where you can just dial back just a little bit and have the story of the season told more simply. and then the music and the praise and the worship that is intertwined with that. All of these wonderful symbols of the gift that God has given us. And why does God give us those symbols? Maybe it's because we as human beings, maybe we need tangible things to remind us of who God is. For example, next Sunday, we will gather around the Lord's table in communion. And as we take that bread and as we break that, what is that symbolic of? Yeah. Jesus' body being broken for us. And there will also be the cup, and that reminds us of his blood, of his sacrifice for us. You have the tithe. We've already worshiped through the giving of tithes and offerings. The tithe, I think, was given to remind us that it's all God's anyway. We get pretty possessive, but it's God's. And I think the tithe is our way of recognizing. It's a symbol, recognizing that all that we have and all that we are is God's. Then next Sunday as well, we'll have baptism. If you think about the symbolism of baptism, the water, you know, as I put person underneath the water, it's symbolic of the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and how we follow him and we publicly profess through baptism. It's all symbolic, but it's important. Just as in the Christmas story, there are many symbols. One of those that we've already said is the star that appeared. And in Matthew chapter 2, it tells us about it. It says, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then jumping down to verse 8, this is where Herod comes into the picture. It says, and he being Herod, sent the wise men, sent them to Bethlehem, and said, go and seek diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. What's the deal with this star? Well, the deal with the star is it gives direction. It guided these men, these people, to the place that they had expected. They had to be expecting. They had to be learning about this. They had to know the prophecies in order to know that when the star showed up, this was something special. They were expecting, they were watching, they were expecting. And when the star appeared, it gave them direction. It also gave them a sign. It told them, this is where the king is. It told them of a king. This is an important event for all of humanity. It also pointed to the future. The star pointed out that this child is here. And this child is going to be a king. A king unlike any other king that's ever been. It was also an encouragement, the star was, because it says when they saw it, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They rejoiced. Now, as you think about stars, I started digging back a little bit in Scripture and found several other mentions of stars. Let me share just three of them with you. The first one I want to share comes from Genesis chapter 1. That seemed like a pretty good place to start. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, it said, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. He made the stars also. Now, the naked eye, from what I understand, if you have 20/20 vision, and if it is a clear night, and you're able to get away from all the ambient light from the city, go out in the countryside on a clear night and see the stars, there are some 4,000 stars that probably human eyes can see. Obviously can't identify them all, but there are about 4,000 of them on the horizon, to horizon, that we can see with the naked eye. The Hubble telescope can see, get this number, 400 million stars. from the choir. 400 million stars. And that's not all of them. It's a small percentage of what's actually out there. And Scripture tells us God made them every one. He made the stars also. It's unbelievable. Remarkable. Creation, the glory of creation, and the God who created it. Second mention that I want to bring to the table for discussion is in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation, the book of Revelation, John saw Christ in his glorified body, in his full glory, and John saw that Jesus had seven stars in his right hand. And Jesus interpreted this passage of Scripture for what John saw. It says in Revelation 1:20, it says, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand." The seven stars are the seven angels, parentheses, ministers of the seven churches. Now, the King James translation uses the word angel. If you go back to the original language and understand it in context, it means messenger. It means the one who brings the message of God's good news to the church. That would be ministers, messengers. If you look on the back of your bulletin, who does it say the ministers are? All believers. We are all ministers. That's not just a Baptist thing, okay, people? That's a scriptural thing. That's a scriptural thing. We are all ministers called to serve the God that we serve, and to present him and to let his light shine before us. So in that respect, ministers are also stars. Act accordingly. The third mention of stars that I want to bring out is the Bible associates wisdom and the stars. Wisdom and stars. Hear this verse from Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And that may turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Wisdom, stars, kind of linked up a little bit there. So what do we learn from the stars? If we recognize that there's something somewhat divine in intent and purpose, that God has placed them there for a reason, what can we learn from the star? Well, let's look at the star we're discussing this morning. The wise men called the star that they saw in the east his star. Okay? In Matthew chapter 2, it says his star. It didn't say the big star. It didn't say the bright star. It didn't say the most outstanding star. It didn't even say the eastern star. It said his star. His star. And as such, we as Christians are to reflect the light of Christ to the world. Amen? That's part of why we're here. We are to reflect his light. Christians should shine for Christ. And it must be his light, not our light, that shines clearly. Remember also that Jesus said that he was the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." So we must, as believers, hold out the light to spiritually blind people, so that they can come to know Christ. Christians should shine. We should shine. We should shine the light of Jesus Christ as the star did that night in Bethlehem. And as we think about, for those of you that were here Christmas Eve night for the service there, that as we think about letting our light shine before men, what a beautiful picture. Mary and I commented as we left, it's a shame as we stood here with our candles and you stood there, we wish that could have been flip-flopped. That somehow you could have been here to see all of the light out there. It was gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And it was a beautiful reminder of letting the light of Christ shine in the darkness so that those who've been spiritually blinded can see more clearly. And what I want to do this morning, we did not rehearse this, so we'll see how it goes. But what I want to do this morning is take from the Advent wreath the Christ candle, which we lit on Christmas Eve, and place it on the offering table where it stays throughout the year, to remind us that that's why when we come into worship that we light this candle. It's the candle, it's the Christ candle. It's to remind us of his presence with us as he walks with us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ walks with us. He leads us in worship. He leads us in our daily journey as we let his light shine before men. The star leads to Jesus. Again, in Matthew chapter 2, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. It led them to Jesus Christ, just as we should let his light lead others to Christ. Then I think we can learn not only from the example of the symbol of the star, but I think we can learn from the wise men themselves. How many were there? You've heard the Christmas carol, right? How many kings? We three kings. Well, maybe there was three, maybe there was more, maybe they were kings, maybe they weren't. Okay, if you look at scripture and just look at that, where do you suppose we get the number three from? Take a wild guess. Three gifts. Yeah, Trent, that's a good one too. That didn't come out at 9 o'clock, okay? All right. But perhaps, you know, the whole Trinity thing concept, maybe that was interjected. We don't know. I think maybe the most common, scholars think kind of the most common rationale for the three king mentality is the three gifts. Scripture tells us that when they came, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of
gold.
Yeah. Three gifts, three guys, makes sense. Well, maybe there was only three, maybe there were more. We know from Scripture that it created quite a stir. When this little expedition of the Magi came into Jerusalem, there was a lot of stir that was created. Maybe there was only three of them plus all their servants or whatever. We don't know. So whether they were many or whether they were just three, we do know that they presented gifts. And kings were in the habit of presenting gifts, so maybe that's where all of that comes from. Kings were typically people with resources to present gifts to other kings as they were born. But whether they were wise men or magi or kings, we know that they did give gifts. Either they were wealthy or they gave sacrificially. That's a whole nother sermon. You know, those who were scholars, those who were teachers, the magi, often were not wealthy. And those that were certainly not as wealthy as kings. But there is a wealth of knowledge to be gained by their example. Let me give them to you briefly. First of all, wise men were followers of the star. They didn't just see it and go, well, what a nice star. Let's take a picture. Let's write about it. People will want to know about this star. No, they followed it. They went to see. They followed the star to Jesus. Wise men were also diligent in their search. In verse 2, it says, where is he that is born the King of the Jews? They wanted to know. They were searching for him. They didn't just arrive and say, well, what a great city. What a great city. It came to land here. Well, that's close enough. No, they wanted to find Jesus. And wise men and women still search for Jesus. Thirdly, wise men approached Jesus in the right manner. In verse 11, it says, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Today, wise men and women still come to Jesus with the right heart attitude. I am deeply troubled. I am so afraid that in our efforts to make Jesus marketable, whatever that is, palatable or friendly or whatever. In our efforts to make Jesus more marketable to people who don't know him, we in the 21st century Western church have unintentionally, I believe, portrayed a Savior who is not worthy of the awe and the honor that's due him. There's a big difference between our buddy in the sky and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And sometimes, and again, I believe it's maybe for good intentions, but we sell short the majesty and the glory of our Lord and Savior. They approached him in the right manner. They fell on their face and worshiped him. Fourthly, wise men teach us to be unselfish with our gifts. Again, from verse 11, when they had opened their treasure, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. Wise men, women still bring gifts to God. Why? Because it's already his. It's all his. And then fifthly, wise men and women worship Jesus. They saw the young child and they fell down and worshiped. They worshiped Jesus Christ, not the government, not other gods, not Allah, not Buddha, not money, not fame. They worship Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Some will do it willingly. Some will do it because they know it's truth and it will be the first time they ever acknowledge it. My question to you is, do you do that willingly already? Are you in the practice of confessing that Jesus is Lord? Do you worship him? Do you worship him? Will you learn from the wise or will you follow the foolish? As we begin a new church year, never mind the secular calendar, as we begin the new church year, will you learn from the wise or will you follow the foolish? Will you confess that Jesus is Lord? Will you worship him? Will you give all that you have to him? Will you acknowledge him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Let's pray and ask for God's help. Gracious Father, we know that we get selfish. We know that we get possessive. We know all of those things. We want to rule our own world. We want to, you know, we want to be our own master, and we constantly mess it up. We constantly mess it up, and we have to come back to you. Father, we pray that from this day forward, that our attitude would be different, that we would wait on you, that we would allow you to teach us and to lead us, and that where you lead, we will follow. Father, we pray that we would learn from Scripture, that we would learn from the story of the birth and of your Son and how those that came and worshiped him. God, we thank you for that precious gift. And we pray that as we go forward from this place, having worshiped Jesus Christ, having worshiped you as the giver of all good things, that our hearts would be changed. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I can't think of a better day. Can't think of a better day to settle that. I'll be here at the front when we sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to share with you about how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I'm a believer, but man, I just really haven't been following in his path. I haven't been allowing him to lead me. This is your day. You can certainly settle that up with God where you are. Talk with him. If you're here and you say, I'd love to be a part of this church, I hope that you all feel welcome in being here. And if you would like to be a member of College Park, there's many ways we receive guests and members, guests that become members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that as well. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. following benediction response, I hope that you'll greet one another. I encourage one another as we go from this place. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you for the gift of your Son and the reason we celebrate this season. But Father, we pray that as the days wear on and we go from week to week and month to month, that we would not lose sight of the glory of this time of year. Not for the weather, not for the tinsel and all of that, but for the glory of your Son that shone so brightly on his birth and in our hearts and in our lives. Help us to shine the light of Jesus so that others can see him in our hearts. For it's in his precious name that we pray.